everything out closer to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
An oppressed person will fight back.
2-4
baby. Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
Greetings, Toronto. I'm your host for tonight, Steve DeSilva, and you're listening to Radio Basics, the radio wing of Basics Free Community Newsletter, which if you live in the Jane and Finch area, you may now be getting free at your door or at the corner on the block. That's right. Basics has recently started doing its distribution up in the Jane and Finch region. And, you know, if you like what you see, if you want to learn more about our organization, you can check us out on the web, basicsnews.ca. And, you know, if you want to get involved, distribution, production, you know, the internal life of the organization, holler at us. You can call me here at the radio station on our breaks, on our commercial break, or while a song, when I drop a joint. It's 416-736-5656. You can email us at basics.canada@gmail.com. Moving into our headlines for the day. In local news, hotel workers strike while TIFF kicks off. As the Toronto International Film Festival was getting underway this past weekend, over 900 hotel workers gathered on Friday at the Royal York in Toronto for a one-day strike. "We decided to take a one-day strike action to let the company know that we are willing to fight for our rights," said Michelle Williams, a hotel worker of the Royal York, to Basics correspondent Martin Cook. The collective agreements at a number of hotels owned by Westmont, including the Royal York, have expired, and the company is asking for more quote-unquote flexibility. What does this flexibility mean to the workers? Workers are, quote, being asked to perform a four-hour shift, but they live an hour and a half away, and they are having to pay daycare to come to a four-hour shift. It's just not right, says Lisa Bruno, a hotel worker at the Royal York. Celebrities in the town for TIFF, such as Martin Sheen, joined the picket line, while other unions expressed their solidarity, and other hotel workers represented by Unite Here join in the one-day strike action. In provincial news, two Jamaican migrant workers are dead in Owen Sound after a workplace accident. Community group calls for radical actions to be taken. On Friday, September 10th, Justice for Migrant Workers learned that two Jamaican migrant agricultural workers died as a result of workplace injuries suffered at the Filsinger Farms near Owen Sound, Ontario. "We are aggrieved by this tragedy," says Tsazna Miranda Leal, an organizer with Justicia for Migrant Workers. "We mourn this loss and we send our condolences to the families of these workers. While details of the fatalities are pending due to an ongoing investigation by the Ministry of Labor, the Jamaican government is reporting that Ralston White and Paul Roach may have died from the inhalation of toxic fumes. Health and safety violations are an everyday occurrence for migrant workers. From chemical and pesticide exposure to faulty equipment to workplace bullying and harassment, migrant workers from across the province have described countless examples of dangers while at work. Justicia for Migrant Workers is urging the Ministry of Labor to implement a set of measures to prevent future abuses on migrant workers, such as snap inspections for all workplaces and accommodations where migrant workers live and work, coroner's inquests into the details relating to such workplace deaths, an appeals mechanism built into the seasonal agricultural workers program and the temporary foreign workers program so that migrant workers cannot be arbitrarily and unilaterally repatriated to their homeland, increased labor rights and protections for all migrant workers, and a criminal investigation into this workplace fatality as mandated by the Criminal Code of Canada. In international news, to Mexico now. 72 migrant workers massacred by drug cartel in Mexico after they refused to smuggle drugs. On August 24th, 2010, the bodies of 72 migrants from Central and South America were found in San Fernando, Mexico, approximately 100 kilometers south of the U.S. border. The migrant workers included 58 men and 14 women, all of whom had been shot dead and piled in a room. According to the survivors of the massacre, the migrants were kidnapped by an organized crime cartel while they were traveling en route to the Texas border, ordered to smuggle drugs into the United States. When the migrants resisted, they were slaughtered. Among the deceased included workers from El Salvador, Honduras, Brazil, and Ecuador. The Mexican government itself, racked by corruption and considered by most in Mexico to be illegitimate, has confirmed at least 7 cases of cartel kidnappings of migrant workers this year alone. Other groups, including the National Human Rights Commission in Mexico, estimate that some 1,600 migrants are kidnapped in Mexico each month. In a public statement made by United Food and Commercial Workers of Canada, the union that has been most active in organizing migrant farm laborers in Canada, President Wayne Hanley said, "People should not have to put their lives in jeopardy to work in another country. Many of our sisters and brothers across Latin America risk their lives and in some cases perish in order to find employment in the global north in countries such as Canada. Rather than offering an environment where their workplace and human rights are respected, our governments further torment them by failing to enact legislation to adequately protect them, and those laws that are in place to protect them are rarely enforced." Those words from Wayne Hanley, president of UFCW Canada. Now to South Asia, Nepali Maoist leader Kiran calls for fresh people's revolt to resolve the manufactured political deadlock in the country. A senior Maoist leader of the Unified Communist Party of Nepal, Kiran is calling for the Maoist movement to make preparations for a fresh people's revolt. Mohan Bhaiya, or Kiran as he was known in the movement after 10 years of the rule-based people's war, is holding the line in the Maoist party that preparations must be made for an insurrection given the complete political deadlock in the country, with the parliamentary parties backed by India and the United States preventing the Maoists from pushing ahead with any constitutional reforms. The Maoists are credited with building the massive rural people's war, which in 2006 toppled the world's oldest monarchy and also brought reforms in the countryside, including the resistance and overturning of feudal exploitation of landlords. Their basis for power in the countryside was to support and active participation of the landless and the land poor rural peasants, and their military weapon was the People's Liberation Army. After signing the peace accords, however, the Maoists, despite keeping a mass base actively mobilized, have not been able to push through their social reforms and the new constitution, even while they hold the largest number of seats in the Constituent Assembly. Now, leaders like Kiran on the left of the party are arguing that the party must make preparations for a mass-based insurrection. That's all for headlines, sisters and brothers. You're listening to Radio Basics once again, the radio wing of Basics Free Community Newsletter. Coming up later in the show, we have a feature interview with some organizers of the Justice for Aoi campaign against police brutality. This past weekend, they held their third annual basketball tournament against police brutality. And we have some audio from the event, including an interview with a couple of its organizers, including the sister of police murdered Aoi El Nadir. Selma El Nadir will be on the line with us tonight. Stay tuned as well for the end of the show. We'll be playing a short film, the audio of which you'll be able to hear from British filmmaker Ken Loach, remembering September 11th, not America's 2001 September 11th, but the one inflicted by America upon Chile in 1973. Stay tuned to the People's Radio, Radio Basics. We'll be back. And if you want to holler at me here in the studio, 416-736-5656, Radio Basics.
Hi, we're Paper Moon.
And you're listening to...
C-H-R-Y.
I'm ready for duty, baby.
Rockstar lifestyle ain't gonna make it. Too many black men locked in cages. If I get wasted and you get wasted,
hold your head,
what we gonna do about the next generation?
Rockstar
lifestyle ain't gonna make it. Too many black men locked in cages. If I get wasted and you get wasted, what we gon' do about the next generation?
Capitalism was invented by the white boys. Even prison was invented by the white boys. So you better watch out, or they might force you to snort. White boy, white girl, a white horse. Up north racist, down south racist. Same government leaders just changed places. $7 trillion on Wall Street wasted. How much more they gonna spend on the spaceship? I gotta face it, you gotta face it. Soon everybody gonna be butt naked. How much longer do you think we
we gon' take it. Still not free and still no 40 acres. Rockstar lifestyle ain't gon' make it. Too many black men locked in cages. If I get wasted and you get wasted, what we gon' do by the next generation? Rockstar lifestyle ain't gon' make it. Too many black men locked in cages. If I get wasted and you get wasted, what we gon' do by the next generation?
I used to wake up in the morning, first thing, gotta taste it. Drunk, got my mind on an everyday basis. Stay throwing up Andre by the cases. Smoking mad blunts, so much money that I wasted. Going through the stages, growing up young black male trying to make it. Caught up in the matrix, was it lack of discipline or deep self-hatred? Suppose it could have been a form of self-medication. Stress on my mind, it was a way to escape it. Wash away the problems when I didn't want to face them. I told myself it was just recreation. I could stop anytime, G, it's not like I'm basing. But deep inside, I felt my health deteriorating. Gout in my leg, toothache so irritating. Wasting mad time, could have been paper chasing. Slipping on my pimp and catching all kind of cases. Learning the hard way, first-hand education. Had to get my body a break and make some changes. Had to get back on solid foundation. Tighten up my diets, workouts, and meditation. It don't happen in a day, it take patience. Still, every day is a challenge, but I'ma make it. A soldier don't run from the struggle, he embrace it. Don't worry what another to think, that's liberation.
It's from the new mixtape by Dead Prez, that was Don't Waste It. On October 31st, 2007, Toronto police shot dead 18-year-old Alwiel Nadir. In June 2008, the Special Investigations Unit exonerated the officers in the killing of Alwi. And this past spring, a coroner's inquest was held that despite proving that Alwi was unarmed and running from the police were still justified in shooting Alwi. This according to the recent coroner's inquest. Since Alwi's murder, the Justice for Alwi campaign against police brutality has been organizing in Toronto communities where youth are most affected by police violence. And one of the main events that they've held every year since Alwi's death has been the annual Justice for Alwi basketball tournament against police brutality. They held this tournament this past weekend on September 11th, and among other political presentations and interventions made at the basketball tournament, there was one made by an organizer from the Uhuru movement, Diop Olugbala. We got a segment from him coming up right now. And after this segment, we'll be speaking with Salma El Nadir and Alok Premji from the Justice for Alwi campaign. Check out this segment. There's some pretty important points in here. Talks about the relationship between the government, the drug trade, the poverty in our communities, the criminalization, and the brutality committed against youth in our neighborhoods. Check it out. This is Diop Olugbala.
The only thing that maintains this parasitic relationship between us and them is this thing that we call the state, which comes in the form of agencies like the police department that murdered Alwi. I mean, the fact is that the state is an organization of oppression. Any society where you have a split between those who have and those who ain't got nothing, you got to have some type of organization in place to protect the interests of those who have, especially when those who have it as a consequence of stealing it from those who don't got it. Many of us live in apartments or houses that we don't own, but they're owned by some landlord or perhaps even the government. And where I come from in Philadelphia, you have a situation where none of these slumlords ever provide heat in the winter. And the winters, I know the winter gets cold in Toronto, the winters is cold in Philly too. And people literally freeze to death because they can't even get no heat in the apartment that they pay rent to the slumlord. But if you tell the slumlord that you're not going to pay no rent until you get your heat, that's when you see what the police are here to do. They send the marshal or the police or some other agent with a gun on his hip and force you to either pay that rent or hit the streets. This is the role that the state, that the police play in our communities on a regular basis. And the fact is that what they call the law LAW, what they call the law that the state is in place to protect, is nothing but the opinion of those who have power. The law is the opinion of the ruling class of any given society. So if you're in a society where the slave master has power, where the slave master are the owners of Shell Oil or Acme Grocery Store or whatever you want to say, if these are the forces in power, then obviously they will write a law that reflects their opinion on what justice is. We don't have any respect for a colonial law that is in place to protect the interests of the same ones that keep our people in poverty. Why should we respect the same police that murder our people with cold blood, murder our people like animals in the streets? What the hell kind of an insanity is that? And we don't accept this lame definition of, illegal and illegal and all that. The reality is that that which will liberate African people is what we would deem as legal. And right now, as we know, in the history of the world today, there's much struggle going on around the world. Right now, resistance of the Palestinian people who are fighting tooth and nail to push this illegitimate settler colonial state in the form of Israel out of their lives and out of their land. You find in Latin America struggles, forces like Hugo Chavez, Fidel Castro, and whatnot, who are organizing revolutionary struggle in Latin America to overturn imperialist domination over their lives. All over the world, oppressed people are clear. Afghanistan, you find the same type of resistance. And the fact is that imperialism is holding on for its very life. And they know more than anything else that it's only a matter of time before African people, before Arab people, before the Latino people who are held down as prisoners, as hostages in places like Canada and the U.S. It's only a matter of time before we begin to organize ourselves to overturn imperialism right within its own belly. And this is why they put the police in your community. This is why every time you turn around, they doing another raid under the guise of a war on drugs and a war on gangs. It don't got nothing to do with a war on drugs, because if it did, then they would have been arrested the Prime Minister of Canada. They would have been arrested the President of the United States, because these are the forces who control the drug economy in our community. We know that the police is not here to stop drugs, to stop gangs. The reality is that the police, the state, occupies our community to make sure that you do not organize to overturn this parasitic relationship that they have with you.
That was Diop Olugbala, an international organizer with the Uhuru Movement, speaking at this past weekend's Justice for Alwi basketball tournament. He was invited to speak by the organizers, two of whom I have on the line with me tonight. Salma El Nadir, the oldest sister of the deceased Alwi El Nadir, and another community organizer, Alok Premji. Sister, brother, thanks for being on the line with us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
So I heard the tournament was a big success. What do y'all think? Can you tell us a little bit about how it went this weekend?
Yeah, it was a great success. A lot of teams came out, a lot of people came out. We started a little bit later than we expected, but in all, it went smoothly. And we had great speakers such as Diop Olugbala, who you just heard a clip of. And we had one of the hottest rappers in Toronto, who's been involved with the All We campaign since the beginning. This rapper by the name of Von Noka, the Quan Che.
That's right. I wasn't able to attend. I forgot he was there. But I'll play a track by Quan Che a little bit later in the show.
Yeah.
But so tell us, like, what's the relationship between the? I mean, what's the relationship between this ball tournament, this cultural event that y'all are holding, which is for the people, by the people? You know, you guys are doing this all by yourselves. It's really incredible. You know, it doesn't seem like you guys had funding from anybody. You don't have funding from any agencies to pull this off. What's the relationship between this kind of political and cultural event and the issue at hand, which is the brutality that's being committed against the youth on a day-to-day basis?
First of all, it provides a space for these communities to discuss matters of issues plaguing the community, such as police brutality, you know, and other oppressive measures of housing conditions, mm-hmm. and, you know, maintenance. Things that the mainstream media and our general society don't give, don't allocate, and essentially black or white out, whitewash these spaces, these issues from ever being discussed on a critical level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had youth, and we had many youth and members who've been coming out year after year since our first annual, this is our third annual, who've been heightening their consciousness, you know, coming out and listening to our speakers, understanding the political nature of our organization, mm-hmm. and their own circumstances, and our own circumstances under these conditions. And, you know, so we've been speaking to youth and many of these other community members about, you know, they've been giving me an analysis and giving all of us an analysis of the functioning of police, for example, mm-hmm. in their own communities. And we've seen the development and the dedication from a very old, that very old community that we hold the tournament in, and that would be the Pelham Park community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a very enlightened and beautiful thing to see. This sort of response.
And also the fact that a lot of youth came from different neighborhoods. Like, we had, the tournament was held near Pelham Park, and yeah. we had youth come from Jane and Finch, from Regent Park, from all over the city, and regardless where they come from, what neighborhood they come from, they all share the same issue of police brutality, and mm-hmm. they all came to play ball and to talk about the whole issue, and that they share this issue.
Absolutely, and just for the sake of our listeners, just to draw out that point, that's pretty significant that youth are coming from different neighborhoods that are not necessarily their own. We know that the nature of the social and economic crisis that plagues our society is translating and passing down to the youth a lot of violence. It not only promotes the violence in the form of, you know, the media images depicted to the youth about the way they should be, but then that's the economic conditions that youth are living in is a violent one necessarily. And it's significant that youth are coming together from different neighborhoods for this kind of event. Selma, I had a question I wanted to ask you in particular.
Yep.
There are literally hundreds and hundreds of people in your situation, you know, family members of the tens and tens of you know, young people who have been killed by Toronto police in the past years, you know, probably thousands thousands and thousands of people if you consider how many hundreds and hundreds are abused brutally day to day, week by week in Toronto. What is it that has kept you mobilizing and organizing in face of this brutality, and what drives you to organize your community against these kinds of issues in the memory of your brother?
Yeah, it first started off as being an issue that hit home personally. It was very hard on my family. But, you know, as I kept getting educated of the whole issue of police brutality and how the system is all organized to defend how police act towards youth, just as you said, there's hundreds of cases that keep happening over and over again, and I think that's what kept me in the organizing. And, you know, it just basically got me mad, because this shouldn't be happening, you know? People, like, youth shouldn't be scared of the police. Police are supposed to be there for them, you know, not against them. And that's what kept me organizing. And as I keep hearing stories from youth, and I just thought maybe there has to be something done about it, and hopefully in the future something good can happen and we can fight that.
Mm-hmm. So this interview with you two was prefaced by the words from Dia Palugbala, who was speaking and was invited to speak at your tournament. And he was talking about the relationship between policing, the poverty in our communities, the violence in our communities, and a broader system, a broader economic and political system. He's talking about imperialism. He's talking about, where are these drugs coming from? Who are ultimately controlling these drug flows? Why is it that it's working class youth at the bottom who are actually doing the time and getting killed for something that's coming from outside of their communities? How are you all seeing the relationship between policing in Toronto and, let's just say, a broader context? What's the broader context of police brutality in Toronto?
Well, it's how we understand it is that it's police are there as a function to protect private property, and those bodies who are somewhat excluded out of this economic system, who are the most exploited of the working class, who don't own property, who essentially, you know, whether or not you are renting housing from the state, or whether you're renting housing from a landlord or a slumlord or whatever it is, these are the bodies, and the peculiar position of a racialized person in the city of Toronto, and I guess the greater concept of the globe, the world, is that the police are there under suspicion of us, under whether or not you don't fall in line with some of the rules and regulations. And when you are looked at in a hierarchical society as we live in, where there's rich, middle class, and there's poor, the police are there. They're going to be the way the laws are constructed. If they're going to be policing and they're going to be doing their job as they're told to do, then if they want to put people in jail, whether this jail is becoming a private industry where they make money off it, right? It's called a prison industrial complex.
That's right.
Then there is a group of people that fit the description that kind of work outside of the legalities of our society, and so no job opportunities are created. Now, when we look at communities like Pelham Park and many marginalized communities like Lawrence Heights and Regent Park, when you go and take a look at these and when you live in these places, what sort of job opportunities exist around and within these spaces? Not many. And then along with the education system, we've spoken to youth, and we've also, I and many members of this organization have been a part, have grown up into the system where they don't even talk about university to our kids in high school and in these spaces, where they don't, university is not even an issue, so.
So that seems like they're prepping youth for a different future, right?
A different future, and that future is heavily policed.
Yeah,
and at those bodies, when you take a look at our prison system, are filling up those prisons.
That's right. And the last issue of Basics came out earlier this month. We had two articles in there that covered the breakneck speed at which prison spending is accelerating in this country. It's set to double in the coming years. So if they're anticipating that the number of units in prisons is going to be doubling, why are they anticipating that? Right? Are they, when crime is actually falling, right? The historical trend over the last 10, 20, 30 years is that crime is at its lowest point in 30 years, yet they're doubling funding for prisons, right? So how is this, what is this actually looking like in working class communities, which are so overrepresented, especially racialized working class communities? We should also mention indigenous people, less of an issue in Toronto, but still an issue, who are so overrepresented in those who are criminalized and policed, over-policed. What does this day-to-day war on drugs, as they call it, actually look like in Toronto's neighborhoods? What is the kind of cases you guys are encountering as a Justice for Howie campaign?
Thelma, do you want to speak to that, or we can both?
We hear a lot of problems, a lot of negative interactions with the police and youth. I mean, like, just today I've been hearing a story about a young man who just got beat up by the police, and the mother doesn't know where to go to for guidance. So the only place that she can go to is the police station, and that doesn't really help anything since the negative interaction came from the police. So we just keep hearing these kind of stories, how, youth get stopped for no reason, racial profiling, and not to forget murder. Like, we just had a recent case with Junior, who was also killed, beat up by the police, and his story gets covered up, and that keeps happening. So, and it's usually always around a so-called at-risk neighborhood where you see mostly all the cops are there, all the police stations are near.
Yeah, so that's right. I'm sitting here at our radio station in New York University, just blocks from where Junior Manon, who you just mentioned, was beat to death by seven or eight police officers, May 5th, 2010. So let us know, you know, what's going on for Justice for Ali in the next little while. What can people expect? And for our listeners who may have experienced cases of and incidences of police brutality, harassment, who do they go to? What do they do? Who can they call?
I mean, you can please email us at justiceforalwe@gmail.com.
Is that a four with number four or?
No, that's four letter. That's the word for F O R.
Yeah.
J U S D I C E F O R A L W Y at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Please, if there's any cases of police raids, individual harassment, whatever it is, any sort of misconduct, brutality, let us know. We are affiliated with a sister organization that would be a basic community, free community newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a voice. That also basic radio gives you a voice to tell the story of what happened. Because, you know, with this, the most recent murder by the police, and that would be Raylan, who was murdered at Victoria Park in Lawrence, shot dead, cold-blooded style by the police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was the day of the shooting and the day after. It made the front pages, but after that, there's no news of it.
That's
a normal. That's a normal circumstance within our press. Yeah. I mean, so we can provide you a space where you can voice your issue through media. Also, we can affiliate you with lawyers who've been working around police misconduct and brutality for years on end.
Yeah.
And help your community and your family launch a campaign. I mean, this is what we've been doing throughout our existence. And through that, we can grow and unite, in these struggles. In the near future, we are going to organize a greater forum around these issues with allied organizations like the Yuhuru Movement and BASICS and the Esplanade Committee Against Police Brutality, and have communities come out and speak to these issues, because it's experienced daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are communities that experience police targeting, and police target these communities on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, Salma and I both come, and every member of J4A come from these communities. So we see it in a very different manner as somebody in another community who I guess you would call the more privileged communities, where they don't get, when you are stopped by a police officer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's literally, it's a whole different world of experience. You know, I had an anecdote relayed to me by some other people in BASICS who were saying that they were part of the Labor Day march on last Monday, you know, downtown,
yeah.
And they were approaching the exhibition place where the Labor Day rally was concluded. And this woman, who was not really clear where she was going, she was driving through traffic, and there was a police barricade, and she seemed kind of confused from what I've heard. She had a younger man in the car with her, seemed to be her son. And she decided to, like, slowly proceed through the police barricade. There was a space for her car to get through. And apparently, like, 12 cop cars came to the scene. Like, cops yelled, get out of the car. They pulled her gun on her, ripped her out of her car, threw her on the floor. And this for a woman who tried to, like, get through traffic and accidentally went through the, you know, down the wrong street. This is the kind of things that people are experiencing, and I'm sure that was probably a shock to a lot of people marching in the Labor Day parade to see something like that happen, because it's that. But that's the everyday reality that y'all are seeing in your neighborhoods, in working class neighborhoods, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alok Premji, community organizer with the Justice for Ali campaign, and Selma El Nadir, also an organizer and a founding member of the Justice for Ali campaign. Thanks a lot for being with us tonight, eh?
Thank you.
Yeah, I got that song Robbed by Quanche, who performed at the Justice for Ali tournament this weekend. I'm going to play that now, and much love to you all for being on the radio.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye.
My mother always told me, those who live in glass houses shall not throw stones. Real talk. Our education getting robbed by the government. You get to check, you getting robbed by the government. Our native people got robbed by the government. Who really did these
they portray us, you and me, yeah. The working class getting robbed by the government. Poor people evicted for condos and luxury. The truth by media get robbed cause of government. Who really the thief? Yeah. They calling me a thief, charging me with robbery and breach of the peace. But can we take a look upon these beasts? They the ones that come and shoot us down in the streets. The step days back to the clowns from the east. I'm talking about Europeans, English and French. Came to this land, found man, made friends and enslaved them. Took advantage of trust and then raped them. Old Canada, the land stolen from the natives and First Nations. People driven to starvation. They kidnapped their children, put them in the placements. Forced assimilation, it's like slave breaking. Now enough of them is sniffing glue or staying wasted. Just another race erased, more recent. They thinking that this minimum wage is decent. Taking 15% off the checks we receiving. We can't go to school cause we banned for no reason. Our education getting robbed by the government. You get your check, you getting robbed by the government. Our native people got robbed by the government. Who really believe they portray us, you and me, yeah. The working class getting robbed by the government. Poor people evicted for condos and luxury. The truth by media get robbed cause of government. Who really believe they show you on TV? The same school's assholes make schools traps that'll leave you with a case before class. Trouble waiting on the app for you to get out of the bin. Cause with a criminal record, you can't get employment. So they stay employed. No takers in the courthouse to go and inform the snort makers in the courthouse. You go and inform the principal and the staff too. Till you and your boys ain't allowed in the classroom. Now that's robbery. So how could the queen represent my country and charge me with larceny? Further with the fuckery, it's hard to be humble when I see what they do in the region and jungle. TCHC trying to come up on the double. History repeats itself. It's no puzzle. It's exactly what happened to Africville when they move all the blacks to the helm and they can't be for real. Education getting robbed by the government. You get your check, you getting robbed by the government. Our native people got robbed by the government. Who really believe they portray us, you and me, yeah. The working class getting robbed by the government. Poor people evicted for condos and luxury. The truth by media get robbed cause of government. Who really believe they show you on TV?
The time when people can come in our community and get us to vote for them so that they can be our political leaders and tell us what to do and what not to do is long gone.
Seems like ever since Obama got in office, hell went back to normal.
So let the people be.
Everybody want the same thing, don't they? Everybody want a happiness. Everybody say we need a new president, but we all know that won't change a thing. Nobody wanna work for a living. Everybody want their children warm. Everybody want their family protected. Food, clothes, and shelter for the storm. I wake up in the morning, my mind focused on freedom. My name is Obala, that's for the love of the people. Don't wanna be deceived by the pyramid and the eagle. If you ain't got no dinero, America don't see you. But that's all some game, they all some lame. All over the terrain is hurricane and flames. Up in the gun range to improve my aim. And then use my brain and continue to train. And if you live like you know what it is, then you're gonna be living for the struggle and loving one another. Love like the kings and queens we are. Sick of these crooked police, sick of these politicians, sick of these schools and the churches, sick of their whole system. Instead of education, they building new prisons. This generation fed up, seeking a new vision. Waiting on healthcare, you dying on a stretcher. They take away the welfare, no food, clothes, and shelter. Got these teens in wheelchairs, military veterans, but the people waking up to resist this oppression. But we all know that won't change a thing. Nobody wanna work for a living. Everybody want their children born. Everybody want their family protected. Food, clothes, and shelter from the storm.
Know what it is. this. DeadPrez.com. Come on.
You're listening to CHRY 105.5 FM. Broadcasting at 158 watts at 105.5 FM. On the World Wide Web at CHRY.FM. And on the Rogers Digital Network, channel 945.
That was Refuse by our once very own Micaiah, who was a programmer here on Radio Basics, also a supporter of Basics. Did you hear the Justice Rawi shout out in that track? Beautiful, stunning voice, incredible work being done by Micaiah. Much love to y'all, sister. Next, for the final segment of our show, we're going to be playing the, you'll be listening to the audio of a short film by Kenneth Loach, the British filmmaker, popular among many other films, but especially touching film about the IRA in Ireland and the national liberation struggle of the Irish people, When the Shakes the Barley, which some of y'all may know. This short film commemorates September 11th, not the September 11th of 2001, but the September 11th of 2003. 1973. The film is of a Chilean man narrating his experiences as a witness not only to the revolution in Chile in the early 1970s, but also a witness to the terror of counter-revolution that began on September 11th, 1973, when the CIA helped orchestrate a coup d'etat of military general Augusto Pinochet, followed by decades of dictatorship and economic injustice in that country. As many writers such as Naomi Klein has analyzed and taken note of, it was Chile that became a test case. It was a social laboratory for a new type of political economy, one that is dominant and universal in the world today. It is the political economy of neoliberalism, which is capitalism, waging a new offensive on working people with new methods and new techniques. This was the first test case was Chile under Pinochet after 1973. September 11th should become a day for remembering all victims of terror, especially state terror and state orchestrated and sponsored terror, particularly that of September 11th, 1973, which resulted in 10 times the victims of the direct killings than September 11, 2001, not to diminish those who lost their lives on September 11, 2001. But 10 times people died in the military dictatorship due to assassination, disappearance, and execution. And hundreds of thousands and millions more have suffered, and tens of millions and hundreds of millions through the economic policies that have been implemented and perfected by that coup d'etat. This is Kenneth Loach, September 11th. And Radio Basics, this is all we have for the night. So let's call it quits for tonight. And if you want to get in touch with us, you want to learn more about Radio Basics, you can holler at me here while I'm still in the studio, 416-736-5656. And to get involved with our organization, which is a community newspaper media organization, Basics Free Community Newsletter, you may have seen it at your door on the corner, people handing it out to you on the bus. If you want to learn more about us, you want to get in touch with us, you can call us, 416-736-5656, or email us at basics.canada@gmail.com. Much love, Toronto. This is Kenneth Loach, September 11th.
Dear mothers, fathers, and loved ones of those who died on September the 11th in New York. I'm a Chilean. I live in London. So I'd like to tell you, we perhaps have something in common. Your loved ones were murdered, as mine were. And we share a date, September the 11th. Tuesday, September the 11th. In 1970, there was an election. I was 18, and I voted for the first time. We had this beautiful dream to build a society in which our people could share the product of their work, the wealth of the country. So in September 1970, we all went to vote and we won.
Alzaron voces como olas en océano interminables, puños agitando el aire desde la montaña al mar.
There was milk and education for the children. Unused land was given to landless peasants. Coal, the copper mines, and the main industry became owned by all of us. For the first time in their lives, people had dignity.
Porque todo siempre yo creo, yo tengo confianza en la inteligencia del pueblo. Entonces, el pueblo organizado es inteligente. Entonces, ¿cuál puede ser el temor al organismo del pueblo?
But we didn't know how dangerous that was. Your Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, announced, "I don't see why we should stand by and let a country go communist, due to their irresponsibility with its own people." Our democratic decision, our votes were not relevant. The market, the profits are more important than democracy. From that moment onward, our pain and your pain was legalized. Your President Nixon said he would make our economy scream. He told the CIA to play a direct role in organizing a military uprising, a coup d'etat. $10 million, more if necessary, were available to get rid of our president, Salvador Allende. Friends, your leaders set out to destroy us. They provoked a transport strike that almost paralyzed our economy. They stopped all trade between us, which created chaos. They work with those in our country who would not accept our victory. Your dollars supported neo-fascist groups who brought violence to the streets and bombed factories and power stations. Amazingly, it didn't work.
Bueno, porque soy chilena y tengo que defender el gobierno de Allende porque es mi gobierno, el gobierno del pueblo.
Aquí estamos afianzando nuestro derecho a construir un porvenir de justicia y libertad.
In municipal elections, we actually increased our support. So what did the USA do?
On September the 11th, enemies of freedom committed an act of war against our country, and night fell on a different world. A world where freedom itself is under attack.
On September 11th, enemies of freedom committed an act of war against our country. At first light on that morning, troops and tanks advanced on our presidential palace. Allende, his ministers and advisors were inside. Allende did not flee as the Moneda Pass was fired.
Tienen la fuerza. Podrán avasallar. Pero no se detienen los procesos sociales. Ni con el crimen. Ni con la fuerza. La historia es nuestra. Y la hacen los pueblos. Viva Chile. Viva el pueblo. Vivan los trabajadores.
He was murdered. He was murdered. Tuesday, our Tuesday too, 11th of September 1973. A day that destroyed our lives forever. I got shot through my knee and later they smashed my head against the dirt road. They hit me so many times, and sometimes I lost consciousness.
Saliste al trabajo un martes de septiembre a las calles sitiadas de Santiago, calles sordas a la metralla. Calles ciegas a la traición, insensible a la muerte. Saliste al trabajo un martes, no volviste. Camino las calles, voy de pueblo en pueblo. Buscando y buscando, pregunto por ti. Y en mis manos una pequeña foto de ti, una sonrisa antigua que alumbra en tus ojos. Ay, ¿dónde está? Ay, ¿dónde está? Un espacio abierto, perdida la mirada, quebrado tu cuerpo, entero tus sueños, saliste al trabajo, un martes no volviste.
One day in prison I pulled myself to the grill and I saw Germán Castro being dragged by the arms. He couldn't walk. He was bleeding from the ears. they broke his bones and then they murdered him. We learned about the torture camps run by officers of the army trained in the School of the Americas in the USA. We learned about those disemboweled, thrown out from helicopters, of those tortured in front of their children and spouses. Do you know what they did? They put electricity to the genitalia parts. They put rats in the women's vaginas. They trained dogs to rape women. And then we learned of the caravan of death. The general who went from town to town ordering execution at random. 30,000 were murdered. 30,000. Your ambassador to Chile complained about torture, but Kissinger replied, tell him to cut out the political science lectures. General Pinochet, who organized the coup, smiled and accepted the Secretary of State congratulations of a job well done. And the dollars started to flow again to Chile. They called me a terrorist, sentenced me to a life imprisonment without trial or defense. I was released after 5 years, but I had to leave my country for the safety of my friends. I cannot go back to Chile now, even though it's all I think of. Chile is my home, but what happened to my children? They were born here in London. I cannot sentence them to exile like I was. I cannot do that now. But I long to go home with all my heart. San Agustin said, hope had two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to change them. Mothers, fathers and loved ones of those who died in New York. Soon it will be the 29th anniversary of our Tuesday, 11th of September, and the first anniversary of yours. We will remember you. I hope you will remember us. Pablo.